I don't know how she does that. She always seems to have just the right song. I don't tell her what I'm preaching. Always seems to have the right song for the message. I don't know how that works, but she does. Amen. With that one phrase there, as long as I'm seeking your face. You want to walk by yourself, he'll let you walk by yourself. If you say, I'm not going to do this by myself, he said, okay, I'll go with you. Proverbs chapter 4, if you will. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse number 20 to the end of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20 to the end of the chapter. Appreciate you being here this morning. God bless you. Encouragement. It's a blessing just to see you walk in the door, one of you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep an eye on them. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep what in the midst of my heart? My words, my sayings. God says, I got some things I want you to know. And I want you to take those things, I want you to put them in your heart, right down in the core, the midst of your heart, and I want you to keep them there. Why? Verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it, out of the heart, where his words are supposed to be down in the midst of it, for out of the heart are the issues, the sources of life. We think life comes from our circumstances. We think joy comes from our situation. Wherever you are is holy ground if you have Christ in your heart. Bible says, let your moderation be known before the Lord is at hand. Why can you just stand and say, I'll take it day by day, I can just go on and on? Why? Because the Lord's right there. He didn't leave me. He didn't forsake me. He says these words are, verse 22, are life unto those that find them, health to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now watch this. So, if that's true, what are you supposed to do? Put away from thee a froward mouth. Perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. In other words, keep your eyes open. Ponder, think about, meditate on, consider, keep a good eye on, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Let them be established. Who's going to establish it? The one whose words you're putting in your heart. Let them be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. By doing that, watch, we're removing thy foot from evil. See, when I turn to the left or turn to the right, I'm no longer on that straight and narrow anymore. So as soon as I get off, if I get off to the right or off to the left, I'm going to get into something I don't want to be into. There's going to be briars, there's going to be problems, evil, if you will. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. So by turning not, and while I'm going to the path and not turning left to the right, I am removing my foot from evil. Not getting into it, but removing it. Let's pray. We're talking about this morning with all diligence. With all diligence. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house. And I thank you for your word. Now, Lord, we need your power. We need your might. We need your spirit. And I want to be a blessing to the folks. We have had a series of messages here in the last few weeks, actually 2 months, I guess, now at this point. And we've talked about this topic a little bit as we've gone along. But Lord, I want us to dwell on it long enough that we walk out of here this morning that we either have to choose for it or choose against it, because it's going to be plain in our hearts and our minds. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to do that. Speak to hearts. We give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. We've spent 7 messages on jumping Jehoshaphat. And we saw how God will bless those whose hearts are perfect toward him. It's not that the person is perfect, but that his sights, even if you want to think about his rifle sights, his sights, I know we're not shooting God, but you know what I mean? He got him in there, the crosshairs there. He says his sights are set on him. Now that doesn't mean that we always shoot straight. That doesn't mean we always do exactly everything we're supposed to. It doesn't mean we have pinpoint accuracy. But in fact, I mean, the guy's going to go out there, okay, we got hunting season coming up. My guess is he's trying everything he can to take down that deer. You know what I'm saying? Now, we may still miss him, and we may miscalculate, and the deer might move, and that's always the issue, that the deer moves at the last minute. But, you know, but you've got the sight with all diligence. That's like these guys that go out and go fishing and we've got the sonar and everything else going on, you know. They're going to go get a fish. They're after that thing. Now, we may buy all the toys and get all the things and work real hard and practice and go out to shooting range and all this stuff and still not get anything. But our heart sure was in it. Now, you see, God does not wait for us to be perfect to bless us. He blesses the heart. True heart. Our hand might shake in our efforts. We may become distracted in our efforts. We can be pushed off place, and other things can affect our efforts to zero in on the Lord, but yet our hearts are perfectly seeking to zero in on Him. That's what He's looking for. And you know what? We can give ourselves excuses, but we know when we really mean it. Really mean it. Well, I did this and so and this and so and this and so. You know, I did, you know, well, you know. Last week we saw what the first things of David meant. It said that Jehoshaphat, when he began his rule, he did the first things of David. He had a heart that was after God. And there are many folks who would say, well, I've done that. Well, I did that for a while. Well, that's basically how I do things. And these folks can claim this stance, and they are yet not seeking much of the promises of God coming to reality in their own lives because they're really not seeing it happen because, well, I sort of did that. Well, I kind of did that. Well, maybe. Now, I understand. And, you know, we try to judge folks. We're trying to judge folks. And, well, they should have done this. They should have done that. They didn't do this. And we got to be careful. Because we don't live in their shoes. All right? Understand that. But if we self-examine ourselves, do we have I'm pretty good. I got this straightened out. We're all right. I want to self-examine ourselves this morning. God promises to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. He provided for Jehoshaphat. He protected him and he promoted him. And I believe that we can understand the concept and the promise and understand the prerequisite for the promise to come to pass, but I think many folks still miss out because of the one little word, diligence. Diligence. Now remember, we mess up, God picks us up again, we come back to him. Well, how many times every time we come back? We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness every single time. But we really, truly want to do more than just see him pull us out of the fire. We want to be living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Drinking from the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh, yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. Oh, I am dwelling in Beulah land. That's where I like to live. Now, I can live just keeping my head out of the water. And I said, well, I'm doing well. I'm not under. Well, I don't want to just be under, not under. I want to be walking on water. Now, I've mentioned this aspect of the process throughout this series. And I think if we really want, if we want to be perfect in our heart's desire, we need to be wanting God to run our lives. So there's a difference in saying, I really like God going along with me. I want God to run my life. I'm afraid that if I don't force us to focus on this aspect, that many folks will still not see the promises come to fruition, and if we're not careful, we'll blame God or discard God and walk away from Him because, well, I haven't seen it. What does it mean? What is meant to have a heart that's perfect toward God? Perfect is more than just a tendency toward Him. Perfect is more than just leaning that way. Perfect is more than just doing something when we get around to it or when nothing else is on the calendar or otherwise in the way. We're not just haphazardly taking shots, but we're zeroing in on God, wanting to be as perfect in our heart toward Him as we can be. It's not that our aim is perfect because we're fallible human beings, but God sees the heart and He judges by our heart. And if our heart is fully in this, that our actions are, I'm sorry, let me say this way. If our heart is fully in this, then our actions are going to be as good as we can make them. And God is willing to accept that. And at times even make up for our shortcomings with His miracle working power. I hate to drive this so hard that it drives folks away, and yet on the other hand, if we miss this necessary part of the process, the whole process is pretty well null and void. And if you want to see God work in your life, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Say it again, blessed are the pure in heart. A heart that's seeking God, a heart that's perfect toward God, a heart that says, God, run my life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to see God? Well, I haven't seen Him. You want to see Him? Search with Him with all your heart. Guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. And if you want to feel close to God and not feel as though He's pushing you away, then you can't have a lukewarm heart toward Him. Number one, we need to guard our hearts with all diligence. Now, let me say this. We all have different personalities. And somebody may be one of these quiet people who sits in church and you never hear two words out of them. And they may be walking with God in amazing ways. You may have somebody who's outgoing, you know, and hoops and hollers and shouts, and they may be walking with God. But you can have the same people with the same personality, and none of them work walking with God. You know, that's not the deal. That's not the deal. It's not, don't be looking at, the point is, where's your heart? If God shows Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him, then I want to do everything in my power to make sure my heart is perfect toward Him. Look at verse number 1 in our passage. No, I'm sorry. Just turn a few pages, Psalm 119. A few pages, Psalm. You got Psalms, Proverbs. Psalm 119, verse 1. We're going to come back to that Proverbs 4 in a little bit. Should have told you a few minutes ago, shouldn't I? Psalm 119, verse 1. I want you to see something here. This is a concept. This is not something I pulled off of one verse and trying to make some kind of message out of it. This is something that permeates the Word of God. I could go on and 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 on. And you think I do anyway. But I could go on and on and on, and you're going to find that this is the promise of God. Psalm 119, verse 1 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, watch, and that seek Him with the whole heart. Now, what are we talking about? This is the promise for those whose heart's perfect toward God. It's reiterating the exact same promise. Verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. Why? Because they're seeking with his whole heart. They walk in his ways. And what? Look at verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts, say it with me, diligently. Diligently. Well, I did that. I think I did that. I had Tug Banker do my car. He details cars for a living. You can pay him the $5 a little later. He details cars for a living, and he's done my Chrysler and that, and I'm not rich, honest, I'm not. But my dad gave, when my dad passed away, I got his Corvette. So I got his Corvette there, and so he did his car. That had been sitting in the shop, but I want it all kind of done up. And the fact is, even after he had done my Chrysler, he dropped it off at my house, and he had this rag, and he says, what is that? Well, that's no good. Can't do that. Now watch me. If you take your car someplace and get a detail, do you want somebody to say, well, it's close enough? No, you want a guy who's going to do it diligently. In fact, he's going to look for every little spot. And even the spots that weren't his fault, he's going to try to fix so it looks good. So it doesn't look like his fault. Doesn't look like he missed something. He's going to try to do whatever he has to do to make this thing as perfect as he can make it. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? We did the same thing with our heart. If we went through our heart with a fine-tooth comb, said, I'm going to take everything out of there that I can get out of there. I want that thing as clean, as perfect as I can be. Now, the fact is, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows that. But he'll take it when you've done the best you can. I can't remember what it was. I think we had family come or Christmas or whatever it was. I think it was one time. The girl, Hannah and Esther, shared a room down in Westminster. They had one room there, and they needed to clean it up. And I remember one day they kind of got wound up about it. I'm not aware of what. And they cleaned it up. I mean, they just had everything to put everything where they needed to be. And they had all these stuffed toys, and Janet, they called them their friends. They had all their friends all stacked up, you know, and on the bed, and everything was perfectly. Now, the fact was it perfectly clean? Was everything great? No, but there were two little girls who did the very best they can. I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, their heart was in it. Their heart was in it. I want you to look at verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all the commandments. You know what it says? You know what it's saying? Boy, I wish I wasn't so fickle. If I wasn't so fickle about God, I would have done some of the stupid, embarrassing things that I've done in my life. If I just kept my eyes on him. Verse 7 says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. He was saying, I know it is best for me to be diligent about this. I'll have something to praise him about when I've learned thy righteous judgments. Look at verse 8. And I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. You know what that says? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to claim the promise. I'm going to keep thy statutes. Forsake me not. Don't let me be ashamed. I'm going to put all my eggs in one basket. I'm going to go down a limb on the things of God. I'm going to do everything I can to keep my heart clean before you. I'm going to trust you to keep your promise. We need to guard our hearts with all diligence. Number 2, to guard our hearts, we need to lock the door. Go back to Proverbs 4, where we were, 4:20. To guard our hearts, to keep our heart, we need to lock the door. That word guard literally means to lock in place. Now, reason with me here. If I want to make sure my heart is perfect toward God, that I'm going to be careful about what I allow to influence my heart. If I want to be careful about what influences my heart, then I'm going to want to diligently guard the door to my heart. Go back to Tug. I want to think about this when I wrote the message. He did my Corvette up. It sits in the garage and I keep a little cover on it. I thought about taking it down to see my mom. We go down on Fridays to see my mom down in Maryland. I thought about it, but I thought, well, we don't really have time. We got halfway down there, and it started raining. I mean, it rained. I mean, it. And I thought, so glad I didn't take my Corvette out on this thing. Honest, I did. Well, I mean, what good is it? Well, I just want to keep it clean. You know, the wheels are all nice and shiny and all this. I just want to keep it clean, you know. It's a 2000. It's not. It's just an old car, but it's very good condition. But they're not worth as much as you might think. But anyway, you go blue book it on Google. You'll find out. But anyway, but it's really nice. It's fun to drive. But I want to keep the thing clean. I don't think Ron takes his Corvette out when it's too bad either, does it? Now, if you're like mine, yours is a 61. Now, sometimes those soft tops don't seal up like they should. If you had been in a rain like we were in a rain, and I won't even take mine out to even find out if it works well or not. But if you were in a rain, I had a 65 years ago when I was a kid, and you could see light out underneath the soft top. You know, that's where it was. If it had been a blowing rain like it was, man, the carpet would have been wet and everything else, you know. I keep it locked up. Keep it covered. I don't want certain things influencing it. We need to keep an eye on the door. We need to put a lock and a key on our heart. Put a lock on the door that only Jesus knows the combination to. We need to keep the good stuff coming in, and we need to keep the bad stuff out. We need to keep the door locked and guarded. Let me show you the promise. Chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. In other words, prick your ears up. Incline thine heart unto my sayings. Open, lean over here and get a good look at it. Let it in. Incline to it. He's inclined to do this, or he's inclined to do that. He said, I want you to incline your heart to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they are unto those that find them. I'm sorry. They are life unto those that find him, and health to all their flesh. All right, now watch this. We're going to keep our heart. We're going to guard it. There's some things we're going to lock in. Look at verse 23. Keep the heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. That word keep, to guard, to protect, to maintain, to preserve, to keep a watch over. He says, I want you to keep a watch over it with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. There's some things we need to have locked in. We need to keep our heart. There's some things we need to keep locked in. But wait a minute, we also need to keep some things locked out. Look at verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth and a perverse lips. Put far from thee. There's some things we don't want to get in there. Don't let it even sneak in a little bit. There's some perverse things that we just need to be careful. Listen, there's some things where you need to close the door on the TV once in a while. I'll tell you, well, there's not much out there that's worth looking. I mean, it's dangerous just to watch the advertisement when the news is on. It's just amazing. There's so much stuff. Well, it's just entertainment, it's just TV. It's still wicked things that draws our heart because our heart is enticed. Or drawn away of our own lust and enticed, and when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin is finished, it brings forth death. Just keep your... I know you're going to say that verse again until I could almost say it myself. Good. Because I want you, that thing comes on TV, you're going to say, well, I need to guard my heart. Click that thing off. You say, well, then there's nothing to watch. Read your Bible. Talk to your wife. Oh, no, now we're getting a dangerous area there. Take her on a date. Go to McDonald's and have an ice cream cone. Do something. There's some things you need to guard. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Watch who you run around with. Perverse lips put far from it. But then watch verse 25. Here's some things we need to lock in. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Just stay in. Stay at it. Diligent. Now, number three. To guard our hearts diligently, we need, and I've talked about sort of, it's kind of the same thing, but we need to man the door. You need to lock it, but you need to man the door. There's some things you're going to let in, some things you're not going to let in. Don't be a Barney Fife and put the door, the key right beside the door. All right? This is a high security. That means the key is in the drawer of the desk. All right? We're out of reach of hands. It does no good to put a lock on something unless you keep the lock locked. We need to guard the door as if our life depended on it. Oh, look at verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Uh-oh, our life does depend on it. That word issues means the source, the outgoings. Out of your heart comes life. In the Bible, we talk about how soldiers would guard a prisoner. And the fact is, if a prisoner, well, you remember when Paul and Silas were in jail and they were got free and then and all this, you know, and they were in Philippi and they said, the guard woke up, said, oh, my soul, he's about ready to kill himself. Why was he going to do that? Because if he didn't, then his superiors would probably do it in a much more wicked and awful way, because if you let your prisoners go, you gave your life for the life that got released. By mistake. So they would give their lives in place of any prisoner that they allowed to escape. Listen, to not guard the door was to put their very lives at risk. I bet you I'm sure they guarded those doors diligently. They are risking their lives to the integrity of the criminal if they're not. Well, he'll probably stay here. He's not Otis the drunk. We do the same thing with our lives, our hearts. Sometimes we just let the door hanging wide open. Well, I don't think anybody bad is going to slide in there. What are we thinking? Now, I remember the days when we could go to sleep at night, and I had a lot of people in our town, our church, never did have a lock on the door. Never had a lock on the door because it was a different age. We don't live like that anymore. Wake up. Guard the door. Well, everybody's looking out for my best interest. That's not the truth. You know why that was the truth years ago? Because most of them guarded their door of their hearts. And because they guarded the door of their hearts, then they obeyed the commandments of the Lord. And because they obeyed commandments of the Lord, we could trust each other. We don't live there. What does it mean to do something diligently? That word diligent means to guard. There's several different words for the word diligence. And here, to guard like you would guard the door of a prison. We're going to go here in a second. In fact, you go ahead and turn to it. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And I think this is the last scripture we're going to play with. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. Now, when we finally get to verse 9, you're going to see the word diligently or diligence. That word diligently, means with vehemence. He's vehement about it. It means to do it wholly, completely. It means to do it speedily. We're going to do it now. Got to get it done. It means exceedingly. It means not only do we just not get just enough to get the job done, but we're going to make sure we really get it done. My dad had, in fact, the car is still in my parents' shop because a local boy bought it. They had a 1908 Maxwell. I think I've told you about this. And the car's on my mind this morning. I don't know why. They had all this brass. It was what's called a typical brass. It was 1908 and had all this brass. Now, I learned to polish brass by the time I was 5 years old because you put it on there and you clean it off. And, I mean, you scrub it. Now, you can't leave all the polish around the nooks and crannies. You ever seen a gas light, you know, one of those old, I mean, they've got all kinds of little rivets and all kinds of little supports and all kinds of stuff going, and you can't just leave it, you can't let it go. You got to polish that till it shines. You can see your face in it there. And so you're doing it with diligence. It's not you're not just, you got to get it all done. You got to do it vehemently. We got to do it exceedingly. We had to do it especially. And that word vehemence itself means with all your passion. To do it with all your passion, all your fervor, with all your strength, with all your force, with full vigor and intensity. You know what? We do what we want to do. Do you realize that some people get up in the middle of the night and go golfing? Now, I'm not into it. I can't afford it. I don't, you know, and I'm frustrated enough. I've never been very athletic, so, you know, after the first 10 balls in the rough, I'm not going to. Anyway, we do what we want to do. When I grew up, my neighbor had gotten into antique cars because my dad did. And some you know about the big show, it's every fall in Hershey. I mean, that's like, you know, the World Series of antique cars is up here in Hershey. And you go to Hershey. I mean, I just grew up. My sister wanted to get married in October, and my dad said, well, don't do it on a Hershey weekend. Now, just the way it is. Kind of like, don't do it on Super Bowl weekend. Don't do it on this, you know. Just don't do it. And by the way, Carlisle's the week before that, so we can't do that either. Just so you know, we don't do that. And anyway, my dad was up, and they would go up on Wednesday and get their spot, and he would take stuff up there to sell just because he wanted a good spot right in the flea market there. And I don't care whether you got one of the hurricanes coming through, and there's mud up to your ears, they're going through there looking for stuff. I mean, that's just what you do. And he could smell a spark plug for a 21 Studebaker, you know, from, 500 yards or something. I mean, just whatever it is, he could just fight. That was his thing. But anyway, my neighbor got into it, and I enjoyed it. I liked being around with Dad. And so we were going to go up on Saturday, and my neighbor worked, you know, he got off on Friday night. He wanted to go up on Saturday and spend the day on Saturday. And I wanted to go up and be with Dad on Saturday. So it was fine. It was years and years and years ago. He drove a 63 Biscayne, Chevy Biscayne. And I'm sure I was trying to figure out what I'm sure that's what it was, and it had overdrive. I don't know what's a Biscayne. It sounds like some kind of cereal or something. I don't know what that is, but it had overdrive in that thing, and we left at like 4 o'clock in the morning, because he wanted to be at Hershey by 6. Well, and we were coming from Maryland. We got in this thing. This guy's nickname was Crash. I'm not kidding you. I'm telling the truth. His nickname was Crash. And we got in that thing, and we headed out, and we came up Route 30 from Maryland into Hanover. I don't know why we came to Hanover, but he came. I remember going through the square in Hanover. And the reason I remember that, because we were going 55 miles an hour. He hit that thing, and it was, you know, it was early in the morning. No one's on the road. He threw that thing in overdrive. Woof! The whole car would go, yaw. And we went, poof. We got to Hershey in 45 minutes. I'm not kidding. I thought, we're here? I've never seen anything like it. So help me. I don't know how he did it. He just, and he, you know, the back then, a lot of times they would put lights on blinkers at nighttime, you know, that type of thing. So, whoosh! We do what we want to do. He was getting a Hershey, and nothing was going to stop him. I don't know why I'm thinking about cars today. My dad, he restored a 1921 Stanley Steamer. And sure enough, he was going to get that thing ready for the national show in Hershey. And he had a nice shop that he worked in that thing. And were we married yet or dating? They were married. But he had been married like with the first year or something. And I was helping him do the wheels and some of the real tedious stuff around the dashboard and around the. I needed a summer job, and so he paid me to do this, and I did all the floorboards and all the special beading and stuff. That was fine, but his back went out. Remember that?
He walked like this.
But he wasn't going to go to the doctor because the doctor would probably tell him to do something about it, and he couldn't because he had to get the Stanley ready for Hershey. He come in the house and sit down. You know, and then you kind of, one of these things, you know. But he was going to get that thing done. Do we seek God with that same diligence? Or when it's a little bit uncomfortable, does it get set aside? Look at verse 1 of Deuteronomy 4. Here's the promise. Now therefore hearken. That means to with the attention of obeying, responding properly to. Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You know what it says? I, looking to and fro all over the whole earth to show myself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward me. That's what he's saying. Here's some things, verse 2, we've got to keep out. You shall not add unto the word which I command you. Just the pure, straight word of God. Yeah, well, this is fun. Do you know the word of God? Not watered down, not diluted, not prettied up. Do you know the word? Do you take it straight? Watch this. He says, don't add to the word, so keep that out. But here's something we're going to keep in. Neither shall ye diminish aught from it. Well, we'll just toss it. No! That ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Let me show you an example. He gives a little example. I'm going to go through all this. Verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that follow Baal-peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. In other words, God did not show himself strong on their behalf. But he did show himself strong on behalf. Watch verse 4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord, your God are alive. I'm sorry. Ye that did cleave to the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Keep it in. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Look at verse 6. Keep, therefore, and do them. That word keep means to hedge about with a bunch of thorn bushes. To hedge with a bunch of thorn bushes. So that's not very nice. Keep it out. I've got to guard it with all diligence. To attend to guard, to protect, to be circumspect, to beware, to reserve, to save, to watch out. He says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, ha, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. It says, if for no other reason you should do this, for those who are going to see what God's going to do in your life, like your kids. like your grandkids, like your neighbor, like that parent that you can't win to Christ. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Verse 9, only take heed, watch out, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Why? Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Lest they depart from thy heart. Oh, my soul, don't let them out. Lest they depart from thy heart in all thy days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Why do you go to church? Well, I've heard this story. I've heard this message. So you don't forget. Don't forget. That's what happened to Jehoshaphat. Everything was fine. God promoted, he protected, he provided, and he got, and he said, and all of a sudden, you know what? That guy up here, Ahab and Jezebel, they're not so bad. Hey, son, you want to go marry one of their daughters? He forgot. We've been there. You know what the story is. Chapter 21, loses his whole family. Watch yourself. Make sure you watch your soul. Be diligent with passion. Diligently make sure you do not forget what God has done. Do not forget his promise. So we do not forget to stick with God. So do not forget, here it is, to teach your sons and daughters to pass it on. We're all done. Did you once have a passion for the things of God? Is your passion just as hot as it once was? Are you as diligent and vehemently determined to stay right with God and not drift to the right or to the left as you once were? Maybe you never were. Maybe you weren't taught to. Maybe somebody missed passing it on to the sons and the daughters. Why don't we see the amazing things sometimes that we've seen years past? I think sometimes it's because we don't do it diligently. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Thank you for doing a work in our lives. Lord, we need you. We need you immensely, ultimately, fully, completely. Speak to the hearts. Our heads are back.